This episode of Country Squire Radio is brought to you by Eric Stokeby, Fourth Generation, Missouri Meerschaum, and ThisPipeLife.com. We thank them for their support of this show, and we thank you for supporting them.
You're listening to Country Squire Radio.
Welcome to Country Squire Radio. I'm Bo.
And I'm John David.
JD.
Hey, Bo. Good evening, man.
Man, good evening to you, sir. How you doing, buddy?
You know, I'm doing well. Just dropping matches all over the place and having trouble lighting my pipe. You know, no big deal. No big, man. how are you this Memorial Day weekend?
Yeah, man. It's I'm doing well. You know, as you mentioned, it is Memorial Day weekend, and we would be remiss if we did not pay a little respect to the men and women who have fought and in some instances, many instances, died for the freedoms that you and I enjoy here in the United States as American citizens. And big thanks to all of our servicemen and women who are tuning in. Those of you who are also families of servicemen and women, we salute you as well. So thank y'all so much.
Absolutely. Just know that, you know, Bo and I, we obviously, this is a pipe and tobacco centered podcast. We talk about a lot of different things, but we couldn't have the freedom to do what we do without those that serve us overseas and abroad. So, you know, whether you're a service member at home or stationed abroad, or if you're a service member even of another country that, you know, loves peace and all that, we salute you. And Bo and I thank God for you.
Absolutely.
So, yep.
Absolutely. Well, we get a little touching right there.
Yeah. Yeah. I think so. It's an important day. It's one of those days, you know, people like wish you a happy Memorial Day. And it's like, well, I know I am going to be grilling tonight, and I might eat watermelon, and I might go to the pool, but should it be a happy Memorial Day? I guess so.
Yeah, no, I mean, you know, you want to remember fondly.
Yeah, you remember how you, yeah, you need to be thoughtful about it.
I got to tell you, man, I will say this, just on a Monday, holidays on the whole are rough for those of us. Like yourself, I mean, you're an entrepreneur now. I mean, you always
have. Oh, I was up here working.
Yeah, but I mean, that's the thing, man. For many of us, you know, those Monday holidays are great for the memory aspect, but not necessarily from getting away from work. But for those of you who were able to enjoy your day and are yet still taking the time to join us here on the live show at CountrySquireRadio.com, we really appreciate you guys and for being here.
I bet there's some folks listening and watching right now that that are grilling steak. Or like, you know, big old chicken legs or something like that.
Oh my gosh. If you're doing that, take a picture and we will retweet that.
And I think you said you ate maybe some popcorn today. And I think I ate, let's see, this morning I ate some Raisin Bran.
Yeah, we don't eat.
Yeah. So just think of that sizzling steak right now. It's delicious. I think I'll have some more whiskey here.
Right? I get some fajitas waiting when I get home. Hey, you know, I'm going to do something that I think is probably a little bit dangerous, but I'm going to do it anyway. I'm going to cross the streams here for just a moment, if you'll allow me.
Yeah, sure.
All right. So I do another podcast called Flash TV Talk about the CW's Flash, which just had its season finale this last past week. We had a great show about it. We got a live call-in show coming up this week. That's not actually what I want to make mention of. What I do want to make mention of is that through that show, we've connected with the folks at this video game called DC Universe Online.
Okay.
This is like a mass multiplayer, kind of like World of Warcraft, but set in the DC Universe.
Okay, this is not something you can get on your Xbox or PlayStation.
You actually can.
Oh, you can. Okay, it's not just on a computer, then.
And see, that's the cool thing. They recently released the game on Xbox Lives within like the last couple of weeks, even. And as part of that, they actually sent us some free stuff to give away. And so
some swag.
Yeah, we've been giving away some free stuff on Flash TV Talk, but I wanted to let you guys know, if you're interested in playing that game at all. I know we got a lot of gamers over here.
Yeah.
Hence the desire to cross the streams. But if you are interested, if you play DC Universe Online, take a screenshot of your character. We're doing a costume contest, if you will. And so, take a screenshot of it. Tweet it into @FlashTVTalk. That'll enter you into the running.
That's awesome.
And hopefully we'll be giving away DC Universe Online Ultimate Edition. It's like a couple of episodes, a lot of digital goods. It's
almost
great. $100 value. It's crazy. So we're really, really excited to be doing that. But anyway, I wanted to give our listeners here the opportunity to win as well. Don't tell those other listeners of FTVT, of Flash TV Talk, that I told you guys about it.
Exactly.
But, you know, we're close like that. So I got to hook you up.
Your first love.
Yeah, that's right, man. To some extent, that's absolutely true. Hey, man, what's going on around here?
Lots of exciting stuff happening. We're going to have a couple of announcements come out over the next couple of days that I think will be of interest to people that are, you know, fans of the Squire and Country Squire Radio. So more about that. We'll probably features that some next week. But then majorly in the next several days, we've got a big Father's Day event that's going to come up. So we've got our friends from Fourth Generation Pipes, which we'll talk about here momentarily, and Kamoy Pipes. They are actually going to come to the Country Squire on June 16th at from 5 to 8 p.m. and do an event that night. And so, yeah, we're going to have all kinds of pipes for sale, tons and tons of giveaways. Fourth Generation probably has some of the coolest leather goods in the pipe world right now that they've been giving away. So think like, you know, messenger bags that are all set up for your tin tobacco and your pipe, you know, pipe stuff, and just, you know, all this really, really cool kind of fashion forward stuff that, you know, in the pipe world for leather goods, it's really awesome, really exciting.
Yeah.
So, but have some awesome Fourth Generation pipes and, of course, the new rebooted Kamoy brand that will be here. And yeah, we're excited about it. Lots of free tobacco being given away and things like that. So that's on June 16th at from 5 to 8 p.m.
Sounds awesome, man.
Here at the Country Squire.
Yeah. It's going to be good.
Yeah.
Hey, I want to give you guys a heads up about a show that we've got coming up. You know, we do special shows from time to time where we try to encourage a little bit more extra engagement on topics and that sort of thing. We want to reach out specifically to you if you're listening right now and you are a member of a pipe club, or if you're the leader of a pipe club, maybe you've got a pipe shop, maybe you're the owner of a pipe shop, and maybe you're in the process of putting together a pipe club. We want to encourage you that we have got an episode coming up here in the next couple of weeks where we want to do basically a pipe clubs around the world. It'll be a very different styled episode than anything we've ever done before, but the goal is to actually engage with you and your pipe club live while we're actually recording the show.
It's exciting. Yeah.
So kind of do like an ask me anything type of deal that you might see on Reddit, except doing so in kind of in a podcast style format. Some of the thought behind this is that we will ask out to those of you tuning in some questions that we'll be looking for the pipe communities to send in their responses and share that around and really kind of drive that sense of community throughout these different pipe clubs scattered around the country and perhaps even the world. So I want to encourage you, if you're not doing so already, Monday nights when we record this show, it's a great excuse to get your pipe club together anyway, but we'll let you know specifically the date when we're doing that show so that you can kind of plan out, make sure your pipe club knows when and where they need to be in order to kind of tune in as a group. You'll probably want to designate somebody as your main tweeter or something of that nature. We'll make sure that we can get specifically which pipe club is sending in the information. The other benefit too is hopefully to give you guys a platform to communicate to the audience overall that, hey, we're here. If you happen to be in this, you know, Chicago area or this Ohio area or wherever you might be based out of.
Right.
Giving listeners a way to find out like, that's like an hour away. I should check them out. So anyway, all that to say, we look forward to doing that. More details to come. But in the meantime, just want to give you a heads up. And it's a good practice anyway. If you're not already tuning in on the Monday nights for the live show with your pipe club, hey, it's a great excuse to get together. So.
We've had a lot of listeners too, just kind of, you know, find out about each other. I know we've talked about this on air before, but like in the comments under some of our, you know, posts and, you know, even in the comments on YouTube and whatnot, people will kind of connect the dots. Oh, I live in the same town that
right.
you do, or, oh, I'm over there once a week and I didn't even know y'all had a shop. Like I, you know, things like this. And so, you know, it's a good way to connect, you know, the dots for people that might be sitting in your area right now, but aren't familiar with, you know, your pipe community and you want to get that out.
Well, you know, I actually had Beardcore doing customer service on one of my Periscopes. Did you hear about this?
No.
Like we were Periscoping in Chicago and like people are tweeting, you know, I guess, making comments in and on the video, and Beardcore is one of the viewers, and he sees somebody that he recognizes their user hand, like, oh, I haven't sent you your t-shirt yet. So they're having this conversation about their transaction while I'm sitting here talking about the pipes and the show and everything else. And I'm like, seriously, guys?
Is this really what we're doing?
We've become a vehicle for their customer service.
I'm just saying, it's a lot better than Comcast.
Well, hey, that's true.
Beardcore is greater than Comcast.
I like it. That's a t-shirt right there. That's a t-shirt right there. Well, hey, man, we've got a wonderful show that we're going to be talking about tonight. But first, you've already kind of given a little bit of a tease. But of course, Fourth Generation is a sponsor of this show.
That's right.
And one of the things we love to do is actually not just have a brand sponsor the show like Fourth Generation, but also a product sponsor the show so that we can tell you a little bit about what's going on with a particular brand. And in this case, it's Fourth Generation, and their pipe and tobacco this week that we're discussing is actually the 1982
Fourth Generation pipe. It's a beautiful pipe. It's probably my favorite of all the different shapes that that our friend Eric and Fourth Generation came out with. But it's got just kind of a straight Dublin shape. We're talking kind of a chunky straight Dublin here, which is the you know, signature Fourth Generation band that you expect right around the, you know, the end of the shank there at the pipe. where the pipe meets the stem, and it's just a beautiful pipe, very elegant, large. Again, you kind of have that Danish flair, nice thick rimmed walls on that bowl. But they come in four finishes that you would think from all the fourth generation pipes: the mature orange finish, a burnt sienna, a natural vintage finish, and a dark porter finish. Of course, that dark porter is really set apart. It's got just that real kind of handsome heavy sandblast on there, so the texture really stands out. But anyway, brought to you tonight by 1982 fourth generation pipe, which is that beautiful Dublin, and also the 1982 tobacco, which is their centennial blend. I'll read you the description. It celebrates our family's 100-year anniversary in the tobacco business, and I believe you will truly enjoy this mixture. The 1982 is slow-burning, comprised of golden Virginias, sweet and soft mild black Cavendish, light Burleys, and blended with small plugs of Navy Flake to ease the burning. I love that, man. French vanilla and blackberry top dressing is added as a final step, creating an outstanding room note and a distinctive taste experience. And the 1982 Centennial Blend, of course, is available in a 40-gram tin.
So. Yeah, and you know his tins are so awesome. I think I've mentioned before, but I've got some fourth generation tobacco that has been added to my cellar, and there is a sense of pride both with his tobaccos and his pipes that you get, because you're talking about a high quality product.
Yeah,
big thanks, of course, to Eric Stokeby and the good folks at Fourth Generation. If you haven't checked it out yet, you need to. It's fourthgentobacco.com.
That's right,
and that's the number four.
That's right.
That's right. All right, man. So here we sit on a weekend which we celebrate our heroes. And how do we do it? We talk about villains.
We talk. Exactly, right?
Oh, yes. As we mentioned before, we're taking you back to the 1700s, a day and age where pirates owned the seven seas, scaling around the oceans, the deep blue for tobacco. And I'm going through a lot of different.
Yeah, I was about to say, like, the pirate became Scottish all of a sudden.
Hey, but, man, there were Scottish
pirates. No, there were. But that was just, yeah, there was. That was excellent. Yeah. This is one of those episodes where we get just the Bo York the thespian, you know, that probably should have spent some time, I don't know, on Broadway or something.
I spent all my scotch. That is actually on my bucket list, by the way.
To be a thespian?
I'm a thespian. Actually, I'm a bisexual thespian. You've never known this about me, but I could sing both tenor and alto.
Hit your record button right now. Wherever you're at. Okay, continue, Bo.
Now, tell me about your experience as a bisexual thespian. This was a thing. We're in a musical. You had bass, tenor, alto, and soprano. And back in the day, I can't get there anymore, but back in the day, I could do both tenor and alto. I was one of the few men that could actually do alto. Some would not consider that bragging rights. I did. I had a beautiful voice.
You have a beautiful voice.
I can go to bass now. I'm still bisexual. I'm one of these people.
Bisexual.
What do you think I said? Pirates, ladies and gentlemen. That's what
we're
talking
about.
Let's
talk about some
pirates. We got a great topic. So if you think back actually to, I think 2 years ago, honestly, I think it was actually that long ago.
Yeah.
When we first breached the topic of pipe tobacco during the golden age of piracy.
That's right. Yeah. That was a fun episode. It was going really, way back though. Yeah.
It was, for that, it was actually an entry point for a lot of listeners because of there is this interest and in kind of this romantic imagery that comes along with kind of the pirate on a deck of a ship or sitting on the beach, looking over his vast gold and smoking his pipe tobacco. And
drinking some grog or some rum. Right.
Well, and the funny thing is, back then, when we looked into it and kind of a general broad overview of pipe tobacco during the golden age of piracy, we kind of talked a lot about the fact that, well, if you think about kind of what was going on at the time, yes, this was a trade good that was often carried over the ocean. But how could pirates even smoke all that much, given the fact that, they're on a big wooden ship?
Yeah.
With gunpowder everywhere.
In a very breezy environment.
Yeah. But the fact of the matter is, tobacco really did shape the world in that day and age because of the way that trade was going. And trade very much shaped the era of piracy that was declared as the golden age.
Yeah.
Some little fun facts that I want to send your way. So you're familiar with the term buccaneer?
I've heard it, obviously. I don't really know anything about it, though.
Yeah, there's words often associated with pirates. Of course, pirates, privateers, buccaneers, that sort of thing. Buccaneer was actually a term that came from these individuals that were kind of shipwrecked and kind of living in this kind of in these woods, they would actually barbecue meat on a certain type of wood called boucan.
Okay.
And so they were referred to as Buccaneers or Buccaneers.
Really?
Yeah, because of their style of barbecuing.
I've never... that's a really random way to get a nickname. Yeah.
I know, right? But it's there you go. There is your Memorial Day tie-in to barbecue right
there. There you go.
Buccaneers.
That's all you get.
Yeah. No, man. All right. So I want to start off just by kind of sharing a little fun fact right then and there. But as we talk about it today, I want to talk about it through the lens of one particular pirate in individual.
In piratedom.
And I'm going to start this actually by going back to Forbes magazine, where they actually did a top 10 list of the highest earning pirates of the day, which sounds like a Forbes thing.
Okay.
Of course. Now, before even like looking at this list, if I had to ask you to name some pirates right here and now, who would you be able to name? And I'm not talking about, you know, Johnny Depp. You got to name actual historical pirates.
I don't... like Blackbeard.
Okay.
Or,
that's the one.
Sir
Francis Drake.
I guess, was a pirate. And then you got, was Davy Jones a pirate? Was he a pirate?
No.
I don't know. He had a locker, though.
Yeah. That's good. No, all right. So Francis Drake and, most people are going to say Blackbeard. In fact,
yeah.
Blackbeard probably most famous because he was so good at branding himself.
Sure.
You know, he had kind of a
thing going where it was almost like a signature calling card type thing.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he pushed his own brand.
He would light, you know, the wicks, like cannon wicks, into his beard and light it on fire when going into battle to give him the appearance of the devil. Like, he was big on making sure that everyone feared him and knew his name. Mm-hmm. Even though, while a successful pirate in his own right, you know, when you look at the top 10 earners, you might see a lot of names that are not necessarily as recognizable.
Yeah, yeah.
Right up at the top is a pirate named Samuel Bellamy, who went by the name of Black Sam. He was actually the most successful pirate, earning in today's dollars $120 million.
Wow.
In the gross of his pirate career.
Which, I mean, if you think like, for an illegal, trade, I mean, this is something like, I mean, you don't, you know, It'd be hard to steal enough stuff to make $120 million.
Oh, yeah, man. I mean, it's huge. After him, Sir Francis Drake with $115 million, Thomas II, John Bowen, both of the, or Thomas II with $103 million, John Bowen, $40 million. And then there is one of the most successful pirates in the top five here, which is actually the pirate that we're going to be talking about today, and that's Bartholomew Roberts, who went by the nomenclature of Black Bart.
Black Bart. Okay. I've heard of this individual, but as is very obvious after tonight, my pirate knowledge is quite limited. So.
Well, that's fun, man. You know, you normally being the history buff, this gives me a chance to actually educate you on a couple of things.
Which I regularly need.
No. This will work. All right. So Bartholomew Roberts, he was actually born in Pembrokeshire, Wales. So he's a Welshman.
Okay.
And it's interesting that he even got the nomenclature of Black Bart, given that he was actually an Anglo. I mean, he was a white male, but his skin tone was a little bit more tan than most, which by their standards, they just said, oh, okay, he's Black Bart.
So that kind of led to that. Okay.
That's exactly right. He was actually a religious man in his early life, and originally worked, believe it or not, on a slave ship. Now, at the time, you know, most people, when they took to the seas and looking for, you know, jobs, as it were, a lot of times they would end up with kind of low-level hands on slaving ships or something of that nature.
Kind of the lowest rung on the shipping totem pole. Probably.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. Okay. And so, you know, that is where the origin of Bartholomew Roberts begins on this ship, when all of a sudden, out of nowhere, a crack of thunder as cannons rolled and a ship in the distance raises the black. And yes, it is a pirate ship that comes a calling on this particular ship that Bartholomew Roberts happens to be working on. Unfortunately for the captain, but fortunately for Roberts, this pirate captain is not interested in going around killing everybody on deck.
Yeah.
He's in the recruiting business.
So he's conscripting these people. He's kind of giving them a job opportunity.
A lot of pirates, actually, back in the day, there was kind of this sense of like, okay, you know, we don't actually want to fight you. And at the end of the day, they just want an easy grab. It's a smash and grab job for them on the seven seas. Yeah. That's what they want.
Yeah.
And so, you know, in this type of instance, they board, they actually hold his captain trial, and they offer him a job, which Roberts does not want to do. He does not want to be a pirate. So they say, basically, they make him an offer he can't refuse.
Right. Did they make him walk the plank?
Well, no. See, that's actually, that doesn't happen, man. Walking the plank is not actually a thing. That's a thing of fiction. Most pirates didn't do that. But no, they basically said, you join us or die.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
I would have taken the plank. I think. Yeah. At least, I don't know. Yeah. When your options are that limited, I think you make a decision that, you know, leads you into the pointy hat and the crow on your shoulder and all that kind of stuff. Yeah.
A parrot, you mean?
Yeah, a parrot. All that.
Bartholomew Roberts would actually go on to have one of the most successful pirate careers, even though he came in as somebody who was not interested in a life of piracy. Something that spoke to him was this kind of concept of any man can gain power quickly.
Yeah.
And that's exactly what happened in his career. In fact, he actually commanded several ships as he ended up being elected the captain of his crew that was the one that actually threatened him by his own life to join them. some of the ships that he would go on to captain, the Royal Rover, the Good Fortune, Royal Fortune, the Ranger, Little Ranger, all of these would be added amongst his fleet. Now, this is a day and age where tobacco trade is heavy. And so one of the primary things that you see going along these kind of pirate adventures is when they take a prize, they're going for sugars, they're going for tobacco, they're going for all of these various products. Very rarely actually do you actually have kind of this idea of like a golden, you know, treasure chest or something of that nature that we paint in our picture. A lot of times it's about the goods. They would go in, they'd get, in many respects, a lot of tobacco, take it back to shore, then sell it on the shore.
Right.
And then that's how they would actually make their gold, is on the black market.
Right.
Which is interesting. Now, I mentioned already, Black Bart, one of the reasons why I thought he'd be an interesting pirate to kind of look into is because he was a religious man before becoming a pirate. And, you know, it's interesting because a lot of people like to latch onto that and try to make him into a saint.
It's fascinating.
But at the same time, you know, he was definitely a villain. He was definitely a pirate. But his religiousness, his Christianity, as it were, kind of comes into play as he was setting the ground rules for what would be his regime on the ship. You know, on the ships.
That's really interesting.
Yeah, on the ships, the pirate captains kind of were these elected officials. Like, it's really interesting as you dive into kind of pirate hierarchy, how much it is basically this democracy that's kind of this warped kind of democracy.
Okay, now I'm not familiar with that concept at all. So this is, you've kind of got this environment, I guess, where, you know, the captain has to serve at the will of the pirates on the ship, because I guess, you know, if it's this balancing act. It's like he's going to be the strong guy, but he's got to take care of his people, because if not, they'll just throw him overboard.
Not even that. In most situations, mutiny was not the case. A lot of times it was like, we don't like what you're doing, so we're going to have a vote to see whether or not you should be captain again.
Really?
I know, it takes away some of that, doesn't it?
Wow, that's amazing.
Yeah. But that's a lot of times, that's how it was. Now, if the pirate captain didn't want to let go of a ship, then it would come to mutiny.
Right.
And, you know, you would see the quote-unquote walking the plank, though.
Right.
Not in the literal sense.
Right.
But no, he was actually elected in once his pirate captain was killed by a town that they were currently residing in. And so once he was elected in, he set forth to make his pirate code. Now, the pirate code that is often kind of acknowledged by a lot of fans of the Pirates of the Caribbean franchise, there's kind of this idea of this grand code that they bring out this big book, and, you know, Keith Richards is the one that's holding the book, and he's got the dog there. And everything. It's not like that. Although they do reference Bartholomew in that movie. In fact, every individual pirate captain has his own code, which all of the crew has to sign their name to. And
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. And
Roberts is really interesting. Why don't you read through some of his code.
Yeah, sure. Number one in his code, it's, every man shall have an equal vote in affairs of moment. He shall have an equal title to the fresh provisions of strong liquor at any time seized, and shall use them at pleasure unless scarcity may make it necessary for the common good that retrenchment may be voted. Boy, that's interesting.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Let's see. Here's another one. Every man shall be called fairly in turn by the list on board of prizes, because over and above their proper share, they are allowed a shift of clothes. But if they defraud the company or the value of even $1 of plate, jewels, or money, they shall be marooned. Boy, that's That's heavy punishment. If any man rob another, he shall have his nose and ear slit and be put ashore, where he shall be sure to encounter hardships. Interesting.
All right. So it's interesting because they make mention of a couple of things there, which of course is the punishment of being marooned. Now, we often have this idea of walking the plank, but in fact, a pretty common punishment was actually being marooned.
They'll just leave you on an island.
Island to fend for yourself with kind of the understanding that you're probably going to kill yourself or get killed while you're there.
Just right.
The other thing too is that, you know, there is honor amongst thieves, but only amongst themselves. You know, obviously their entire profession is to steal from others.
I think that was the first thing that jumped out at me here is you've got people that, you know, they're literally, you know, getting themselves able to eat by stealing from other folks. But if you steal from each other, that's not acceptable.
That's right. Now, one of the things that's interesting, and you start to see some of Robert's kind of Puritan-esque background start shining through here, is what Article 3 of the Pirate Code is.
He says, none shall game for money either with dice or cards.
No gambling on his ship. Can you imagine, ladies and gentlemen, a pirate?
These are pirates!
Exactly. And actually, you know, one of the things that was fairly common amongst pirate ships is gambling. I mean, that was a huge
part
of the lifestyle.
Yeah. So Black Bart, he did not allow him to do that.
Exactly. And again, he was able to convince these men to actually sign off on it.
Man, that's interesting.
All right, next one.
Other ones he's got. The lights and candles should be put out at 8 at night, and if any of the crew desire to drink after that hour, they shall sit up on the open deck without lights. So if you want to drink late at night and medicate your pain, you're going to do it in the dark.
Yep. So ladies and gentlemen, this is a pirate who instigated and enforced a curfew.
Weird.
I know, right?
Yeah.
I think, not
well educated in pirates, obviously, but like you think of this kind of drunken band of just ridiculous marauders that, you know, come around and they're just out of control, in part just because they're, you know, maybe intoxicated or overwhelmed with rage or whatever. And, I don't know. This is just kind of going against that.
All right. Now, finally, I want you to jump down to the last one.
All right. The musicians shall have rest on the Sabbath day only by right. On all other days, by favor only.
Yes. The band shall not play on the Sabbath.
So on Sunday, you can't play music.
That's right. Is this not incredible?
It's so weird, man.
It's just, for one thing, it just kind of baffles the mind because it goes against kind of what the narrative of piracy that we've kind of come to understand is. But at the same time, that's because this does go against a lot of what you see in articles that are passed down from various pirate codes, from various captains out there. Now, one thing that is common, although it's mentioned differently in other pirate codes, is, you know, when you mentioned his mentioning of the curfew and putting out the lights.
Yeah.
Now, a lot of that is where you would actually see other pirates talk specifically about tobacco.
Okay.
In that there's not to be any tobacco below deck because of the fact that is where the gun cannon is, or the guns and the gunpowder is actually kept.
Yeah, it'd be a really dangerous, even just the wood of the ship itself, it would just be a tinderbox.
Yeah, so he kind of painted in a broad brushstroke there as he was, you know, shutting down all fun of any kind. but at the same time, you know, it is something that you would constantly see there.
Golly.
Yeah, so, you know, the...
So they can't play music on Sunday, but they can steal tobacco.
Isn't it interesting that pirates would have musicians? That's crazy.
Yeah, I guess so. I guess so. And obviously people that were kind of designated to do that thing as almost a job because, obviously they're giving them a break. It's not like, you know, if you have a big crew of people, it's like, hey, you want to pull your guitar out? Yeah, I'll pull my guitar out. No, it's not like that.
Roberts is interesting because he's kind of sandwiched between two different other pirates in terms of the legacy that he's part of.
Okay.
What I mean by that is that the man that recruited him, the pirate that actually whose ship he originally joined, was a man named Hal Davis, who was a successful pirate in his own right. He's a little bit more of the most flamboyantly traditional pirates that you might imagine, just kind of the Johnny Depp-esque, you know, oh, what's your name, love? You know, that kind of thing. Going into town with my lavish robes and for strong drink and hello ladies, you know, that's essentially
he got the whole package. Yeah,
that's what Davis was. So very different, of course, than Roberts.
Yeah.
And then also his quartermaster, who would go on to betray him, was also a pirate of notable fame, which is Walter Kennedy. Walter Kennedy, an Irishman, interestingly enough, betrayed Roberts while they were off at on some island. They were dealing with this kind of internal struggle. Some ship goes by. Roberts wants to go take it. He takes 40 of his men and one of his ships out to go get it. And in the meantime, Kennedy stands back and says, hey, who wants to do this still? Okay, you're all with me. Oh, wait, no, I'm sorry. Some of you guys are black. Y'all go over there. He took all of the pirates that, I'm sorry. It's the other way around. He's like, who wants out of this? And everybody that raised his hand, who was not black, went with Kennedy.
Golly.
And he took all of them. And then the other ship, which was about 50% African and 50% Anglo, took the other ship and returned to piracy. Kennedy would then go on. He would take a couple more prizes and then retire owning a brothel. Roberts and the remaining crew that were left behind swore his name and said they would never trust an Irishman again in their life.
Wow. Wow. That's amazing. Golly.
So, interestingly
enough.
What
a snake. He turned his back on him.
I'm telling you, man. And extremely racist.
And was a racist, right?
Which was saying.
It's terrible.
So, interestingly enough, he was a unique character in the midst of the people around him.
No kidding.
But, all right, so he operated in this triangular trade of, the triangular trade. And, we've made reference to this kind of in this era, and that's in the kind of late 1600s, early 1700s. And the flow of trade, which you typically saw was sugar, tobacco, and cotton going to Europe, textiles, rum, and manufacturing goods going to Africa, and then, of course, enslaved Africans going to America.
Yeah, kind of that triangular trade. That's going back to, I'm thinking, to like early high school history class kind of thing.
Yeah.
I think
it takes
that's,
you back there,
yeah,
right?
where we kind of first started learning.
And
about
so,
that.
If you think about Roberts and kind of the space that he operated, it was right in between the Americas and Africa. So he was constantly going in and he was, getting these prizes of sugar and tobacco. And then also for the slave ships, he was going in and freeing some of those slaves and actually putting them as part of a ship, but he was no saint. I mean, the pirates actually did trade in slaves as well.
Just like everyone else.
They were villains in the truest sense and all across the way. Even this, religious man who lets his musicians off on the Sabbath.
I know, right? And no gambling.
One last thing that I want to make mention of
no hanging out with women that do.
Yeah, exactly. That kind of thing. Exactly. Right. One of the last things I want to make mention of Roberts and specifically this era is something that I kind of noticed as I was doing a little bit of a research, and that's the Tobacco Inspection Act of 1730. Now, this is interesting to me because it kind of jumped out at my attention given what we just talked about last week and the day and age that we live in where tobacco is kind of going through this new or being looked at through a lens of kind of new rigorous regulations.
Yeah, sure.
And interestingly enough, to my knowledge, in America, the earliest kind of sense of something like this was back in 1730, which was the Tobacco Inspection Act.
Okay.
Very different goals here. The goal back then was that they wanted to make sure that the tobacco was really quality stuff. I mean, if you had a trade ship that was, taken by pirates and you're like, oh, well, we were able to save some of the tobacco. Maybe we'll just stuff some spinach in there or something like that. The goal behind this was to put it through a rigorous process to make sure that it was actually of, substantial quality and met what people were actually looking for.
Boy, that's relevant.
Yeah. I was curious though, if you were familiar with that.
No, I'm not. No.
It might be something to kind of dig into in the future. But one thing I thought, was interesting that around this exact same time was when that first regulation entered into the history of tobacco in the Americas.
Far-reaching impact, it says, in part because it gave warehouses the power to destroy substandard crops and issue bills of exchange that served as currency, blah, blah, blah. But it sounds like the product was kind of under the microscope.
Now,
obviously, for different reasons then. They wanted to make sure it was, high-quality tobacco, I guess. Now, they just, don't want us to have any fun.
it's interesting because, same song, different tune or something of that nature.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Something of that nature. But anyway, yeah. So there you go. Bartholomew Roberts and pipe tobacco in his day and age.
Black Bart. Yeah. Black Bart. I mean, that is fascinating. I'm glad to know more about piracy. it's just an area I just don't know a lot about, man. And when you think of like pirates, you invariably will eventually come to that pipe hanging out of their mouth. I do.
Yeah, no, I mean, like, there is a romantic image of, the pirate who's smoking the pipe and be it on the deck of his ship or perhaps in his own cabin. You think about these kind of 17th century ships and kind of the lavish captain's cabin
sure,
and everything and
sure.
the big table with the map on it and the compass, and he's sitting there smoking his pipe. Interestingly enough, that imagery doesn't exist for pirates in reality, because yeah. pirates themselves would typically clear out the captain's cabin. Like, it was generally more of like, all right, you know, even that deck on the back of the ship, kind of that balcony looking yeah. thing you often see, they would cut that off the ship to make it more, you know, quick, to kind of make it faster while it was on the ocean.
Okay. Okay.
You know, again, there was a democracy element to piracy.
Yeah.
The captain was very much a member of the crew and really only had kind of almost an imperial presence in battle. And beyond that, everything else went to a vote.
That's interesting.
Yeah. So the idea of a captain living too lavish on his own ship was likely to get you voted out or mutiny. But I bet you could still smoke tobacco in there.
I would hope.
Good stuff. We know, no matter where you might be on the seven seas or back here at home on nice dry ground, you know, one of the nice things is you want a good quality smoke. You want something that's going to be quality no matter where you are.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think there's some great quality pipes that you can find from our good friends.
At Missouri Meerschaum.
At Missouri Meerschaum. That's right.
This week we're featuring the Morgan Corn Cob.
Now, is that Captain Morgan?
It could be.
It could be. I kind of said it.
The Morgan Corn Cob, I think, goes well with Captain Morgan. And if you're me, probably some Diet Coke, which immediately brings my stature down to quite a few of our listeners. Right. Morgan Corn Cob, it's just a wonderful little cob pipe by our friends at Missouri Meerschaum. Think of a small apple-shaped pipe. If you're familiar with the Savinelli shapes, I always compare it to the 207 Savinelli.
Ooh, yeah.
Because it's a small apple-shaped pipe, just a little straight pipe, and perfect for your pocket. It's got a real nice light weight to it, and just a small to medium-sized bowl that will really come through in a pinch. So it's one of those just real nice classic shapes. I kind of think Popeye a little bit when I see this pipe.
Okay, yeah.
You know, as I have gotten more familiar over the years with Missouri Meerschaum's lineup, this is kind of in my mind a Popeye pipe. I don't know. I can kind of see that. So, but the Morgan Cob, great, and particularly for the value, it you just can't beat it at a price point of around $5. So, excellent pipe. Our good friends at Missouri Meerschaum, be sure to check that out. It comes in a couple finishes. You'll have the natural finish and the polished finish that has, of course, the amber stem. So,
and hey, take a picture of yourself smoking your Morgan and retweet that to us, or tweet that to us, and we'll retweet that out. Good thanks to the folks at Missouri Meerschaum for making this show happen, and thank you for supporting them.
Pipe question of the week.
Pipe question of the week this week comes in from listener Jay, who says,
"That's a good one.
Do you know if sugar in pipe tobacco has an effect on your blood glucose levels, or is it burned off somehow? Or maybe it's not the type of sugar. That's an interesting point. I'm just assuming that sugar is added because it's sweet. Do they add sugar? Is that what Cavendish is?" So a lot of great questions.
A lot of questions within one question. Yeah. And it, particularly if you're if you're a diabetic, this would be kind of important.
I guess. You know, I can think of somebody that we both know who that's top of mind for. Who's also a major pipe smoker.
That's right. That's right. We do have quite a few people that are diabetics that shop here at the Country Squire and are also heavy tobacco users. And you know what's interesting is they have not experienced any kind of side effect from the sugar in pipe tobaccos. Now, all tobacco has some kind of sugar, right? So you've got natural sugars that occur in these tobaccos. Obviously, some have more and less than others. You know, these real bright Virginias, a lot of times they tend to bite your tongue a little bit because of the natural sugar in the tobacco. But Cavendish actually is a fermented tobacco. And so you've got tobacco leaves, burley, and Virginias that are fermented, and a lot of times, you know, they will have a sweetness to it. It generally is a natural sweetness, but Cavendish is so good at being paired with different syrups and sugars through the casing process. And so there is unflavored Cavendish that will have natural sugar in it, but then oftentimes, and most of the Cavendish you'll see on the market today, certainly sold by itself, is going to be sweetened with some kind of topping or casing. So so anyway, Cavendish generally, at least in our market, has a lot of sugar in it. We have several customers that and good friends that are type 1 and type 2 diabetics that are, again, regular tobacco users. They have never mentioned anything to me about having any kind of reaction to to the sugar level. And so I haven't found any research out there on this. You know, I would love to know if anyone else in our listener group kind of has any idea about where that is. But as far as the folks, I kind of checked with a few of them before we did this show tonight. Just wanted to make sure what their experience was, and they have never had any issues as far as you know, blood glucose level, you know, being affected by the sugar in the tobacco. So I don't know. Maybe it is burned off.
Always best to err on the safe side.
Yeah.
One way or the other. But yeah, I'm curious to hear some of our diabetic listeners and what y'all's experience has been.
Yeah, I'd be real interested to hear that. Yeah. So particularly, I would think if you're an aromatic tobacco smoker, you know, if you smoke aromatic tobaccos and, you know, have to regularly, you know, monitor your blood sugar level, you know, what's your experience there? Is that something you have to keep in mind, or, you know, have you switched to a different type of tobacco because you feel like it affects you in a certain way? Or, you know, I know we've probably got listeners out there that, you know, have at least it's crossed their mind before. So, so yeah, we'd love to hear from you on that.
Yeah. Excellent question, Jay. And hey, if you got a pipe question of the week, send it in csr@podastery.com.
Quick fire with the squire.
All right, quick fire questions come in from
Bard, the pipe pirate.
Hey, man.
That's a good day to have a pipe pirate send in some quick fire questions.
And he,
load the cannons! Raise the mainsail! Oi, anchor, lads!
He wanted to make sure earlier that you knew also that your Scottish accent was lacking.
Aye, well, then I should tell Varge then that he should... He's a pirate, so I don't know.
I got nothing. Well, yeah, I do have these. All right, so you ready for this?
Yeah, bring it.
Oprah or Michael Jordan? The queen of television versus the king of the court.
What kind of question is that? Michael Jordan?
I mean, like, it's hard to know exactly how to compare them.
I don't know. I feel like, I mean, in what question?
Exactly.
Michael Jordan.
You know, if Michael Jordan hadn't had that swing and a miss that was his baseball career, I'd give it to him.
I forgot about that.
But, Oprah, I mean, you know, lover or hater, she bats 1,000. So I'm going to have to give it to Oprah. Not to give it to O.
Shaking my head.
What is that? The SMH.
SMH,
oh,
right.
Gosh. Hashtag. Harrison Ford or John Malkovich?
Harrison Ford.
John Malkovich is... brilliant, but yeah, Harrison Ford. Again, yeah. He bats 1,000. John Malkovich, as much as I love him, John Malkovich is always incredible, but sometimes he's incredible in the wrong role. And that's what I have to say about that.
Okay,
yeah, fair. Harrison Ford. John C. Reilly or Vince Vaughn?
Vince Vaughn.
Hipster.
Yeah, I'm going to go with Vince Vaughn.
John C. Reilly, man. he's a chameleon. He can do it at all. Vince Vaughn, not so much. He's funny, but that's about it.
He's funny.
Ferris Bueller's Day Off or Blues Brothers? That's not fair. That is not a fair question.
I'm going to go with Ferris Bueller's Day Off. For me, I think it took up more space in my early year narrative. You know what I mean? So I don't know. Both are very good. I don't watch a lot of movies. Everyone knows that. I have seen both of these, and I have to go with Ferris Bueller's Day Off.
I mean, they're both cult classics.
Yeah. Ferris Bueller's Day Off has Ben Stein in it.
Yeah, but Blues Brothers has Carrie Fisher, and you always forget about that.
That's true.
Everybody always forgets that Carrie Fisher's in that film, and she is. Plus, there's that dance number when they're I got to go Blues Brothers. I love Ferris Bueller's Day Off, but you got to go Blues Brothers.
That's fair.
Plus, the soundtrack is one of the greatest soundtracks in the history of film. In terms of like an assembled soundtrack, you know what I mean? Like not an original score, but of assembled music. Oh, so good. I hope at some point in my life to do a Blues Brothers reenactment on stage with you.
There's the that escalated quickly.
That's not gonna happen.
And no, it won't, sir.
I love it, but that's not, no. But I do love the Blues. All right, so man, great quick fire questions.
Those are great. Thanks, Varge.
The pipe pirate keeps on sending in his greatest. But hey, you can go ahead and send in some to us as well. csr@podastery.com.
Your thoughts, your comments, listener feedback.
Now we got got some great listener feedback, but first we want to tell you about the folks over at thispipelife.com.
Yeah, man. Proud sponsors of the show.
Absolutely. Thispipelife.com, a brand new community of online like-minded individuals such as yourself who are into the pipes and pipe tobacco and the community that surrounds it.
That's right.
You know, one of the things that we can say, and we can say this with confidence, is the people that are creating thispipelife.com, they get it. They are pipe-minded people. They are tobacco-minded people. They get this unique intersection of kind of pipes and culture and kind of an elegance and a richness. They also understand the fact that, you know, we live in very much a day and age where we like to see the product. We like kind of a tangible nature to it. And
that's
so
right. That's
when you
right.
go into that community, you're going to get bombarded in a good way with all of these pictures and experiences and are really just a beautiful way to kind of engage with the pipe community as a whole and each other.
It's real sensory.
Absolutely.
I love it because it's a beautiful site. It's very immersive. It gives you the opportunity to use a lot of different both social media aspects, but also connect with other other people that are from all over the world involved in this. And you know, this Pipe Life, it's this new community based, you know, obviously for pipe smokers, but it feels like something that, you know, someone created for us, for people living in our day and age, and it feels really great. So we highly encourage you to check out thispipelife.com and register, and I believe they might still be giving away a few of those Stanwell pipes, which I could be wrong on that.
I'll take that out. I'm not 100% sure on that.
Okay, not sure on that, but but I know for a while they were. But anyway, check out thispipelife.com and be sure to interact with some other pipe lovers from across the world.
All right, man, listener feedback. We got a YouTube comment from Norman Williams regarding last week's show. It says, thank you for the information, sir, meaning yourself. Question, are they going to regulate the pipe itself as well?
Yeah, interesting question. I have not heard anything about regulating the pipe itself. Now, you know, where you're bumping into this more often, both here locally and then also in other parts of the world, is that it has kind of become a local issue on that. So,
really?
Because a lot of folks, you know, in certain communities, they're trying to get, you know, illegal drugs out of the hands of young youths and that kind of thing. There are some communities that have adopted ordinances that basically say, you know, you can't, if your shop has any kind of tobacco, you know, instrument that helps you, you know, consume tobacco like this, you cannot let certain aged people in the shop kind of thing.
Interesting. They're trying to get at us to get at the marijuana.
Yeah, exactly. It's that kind of thing. So,
again, that's a Mississippi thing.
Yeah, that's a Southernism deal, and I know it's happened in some other communities too. So, you know, but as far as the FDA, the, you know, federal regulations that were, you know, just come down, and, you know, as far as I'm aware, and I've read through a lot of stuff, it mentions nothing about the pipe. Yeah.
Huh. All right. Good stuff. And thanks so much for that feedback as well, Norman, and sending in that question. Pastor Pipes also on Twitter said, regarding the interview with Cornell and Deal, Jeremy Reeves.
Yeah.
He says, man, this was awesome. Two epic guys in the world of tobacco. I could easily listen to another 30 minutes of y'all's conversation, and seeing Bo do his magic on the side was a bonus.
What magic is he talking about?
No. I. So when we did the Chicago Pipe Show, while you were handling these excellent interviews, I was still in the shot. Unfortunately, I was like the largest thing in the shot, which because the way the angle.
Oh, were you over there like doing all the mixing and stuff, or whatever? Okay.
Doing all the mixing and stuff. I don't think I spilled anything. I may have spilled stuff. I can't quite remember, but I may have spilled a beer. But no. So I was working.
You did. I forgot about that. Yeah, that was great. Yeah.
I thought that was right. Oh well.
That's awesome.
All right. So we also got an iTunes review. And you want to take that one?
Yeah. Jim, aka Vrod, on iTunes. He says, "Love the show. I finally figured out how to operate my iPhone so I could get the podcasts. Really enjoy the show so far. The top three English blends was interesting. I was lucky enough to grow up in the heyday of pipe smoking, middle 70s till the late 80s. Also lucky enough to call Peter, Eric's father, my friend. I was in the tobacco business for about 12 years. I have some wonderful stories and made some great friendships. I'm also originally from Chicago. Wish I could go with you guys up there this year. Who knows? Maybe I'll win the lottery just in time. hope to stop by the shop before you guys leave. Thanks again for a great show. See you soon." And again, that's from Jim, aka Vrod, on iTunes. Man, awesome! Sounds like you got some backstory with the Stokeby family, and man, just been in the industry for quite a while, real familiar with pipe smoking and tobacco. So, Jim, we appreciate you for writing in, man.
We also got some comments on the old Twitter here. We got Ryan Auden, Auden Ryan on Twitter, who says, tonight's episode is one of the best topics I enjoy listening to. Thanks for the entertainment tonight, guys. Love the show. Also, what pipe is that in JD's hand?
That is a Bing's favorite. That is my infamous favorite pipe. I talk about this pipe so much, and it's made by Savinelli. This is a Savinelli product. Obviously, we're trying to mimic the shape that Bing Crosby smoked with, but obviously you'll have a lot of other companies and really artisan pipe carvers that have made their own rendition of a Bing. I love the shape. It's very dear to me. It is just long enough to kind of cool the smoke down. And I just don't have enough good things to say about it.
Varge also tweets in, who's watching live. He says, archaeologists have found many pipes at pirate sites, but not cups. They drink from the bottle and not from Dixie cups. So cheers to you cheers. And our Dixie cups that we have here. Yo-ho-ho and a Dixie cup full of scotch.
Full of scotch. We really should have done rum tonight.
I know.
It's okay.
It's a beverage of choice here at Country Squire Radio. We want to thank everybody who is tuning in live here at CountrySquireRadio.com. Of course, we broadcast live every single Monday night. You can find us 6:30 p.m. Central Time. That's 4:30 Pacific, 7:30 Eastern. You can also follow us on Twitter at Squire Radio. You can follow us individually at The Real Beau York.
I'm at John David Cole, or you can get us at the shop at @_CountrySquire.
Links to all that and more can be found at CountrySquireRadio.com. Well, hey, one last thing before we do the official sign off, and that is again just a reminder, if you are part of a pipe club, if you are the leader of a pipe club, if you're in a pipe shop and you want to have a pipe club and need an excuse to get folks together, tune in for the live show. We'd really love to have you guys, and like I said, in the very near future we'll be putting together a show specifically to help you guys drive community, drive information, and share ideas to help pipe clubs all over the country. That is our goal with that particular show as we kind of build up to it, and we encourage you to do so. So just one last plea before we sign off here.
Yeah, that's exciting. We'll have hopefully a lot of interaction there, but there's so much to learn. There's interesting things that pipe clubs are doing here and there, and if we kind of have a hub to share some of these ideas with, I think that'll go a long way.
Man, pirates.
Yeah, man, pirates.
I got to educate you on some history here tonight.
You did. I was very unaware. I think I missed that class in college. I don't know.
No, they don't teach piracy.
Not at Mississippi State.
I don't think they teach piracy at most places. But hey, man, let's go have a night.
See you, brother.
You've been listening to Country Squire Radio. For more information on this and other shows, please visit podastery.com.